ขึ้นมาใหม่อีกครั้งหนึ่งนะคะกับบูธกิจกรรมของยูนิลิเวอร์นั่นเองซึ่งในยูนิลิเวอร์ของเราได้นำเอาเป็นสินค้านะคะโฮมแคร์นะคะในส่วนของผงซักฟอกผลิตภัณฑ์ทำความสะอาดต่างๆนะคะมาให้กับคุณลูกค้าได้เลือกซื้อเลือกช็อปตามใจชอบกันเลยทีเดียวตามความต้องการของคุณลูกค้าเลยได้ราคาโปรโมชั่นพร้อมกับมีกิจกรรมดีๆให้กับคุณลูกค้าเนี่ยได้ร่วมทำกันด้วยนะคะกับกิจกรรมลุ้นรับเครื่องใช้ไฟฟ้าสุดไฮเทคนั่นเองไม่ว่าจะเป็นตู้เย็นเครื่องซักผ้านะคะแล้วก็ถุงยางทำความสะอาดไมโครเวฟนะคะเรามีเยอะแยะมากมายนะคะมาให้กับคุณลูกค้าเนี่ยได้ร่วมรุ้นร่วมสนุกกันด้วยท่านใดที่บอกว่าอยากจะร่วมรุ้นร่วมสนุกเนี่ยวันนี้กติกาของเราง่ายมากๆเลยนะคะขอแค่คุณลูกค้าเนี่ยซื้อผลิตภัณฑ์ที่ร่วมรายการกับบริษัทยูนิลิเวอร์ของเรานะคะในส่วนของบรีซโอโม่คอมฟอร์ตสไลด์นะคะวีฟนะคะตอนนี้ซื้อ2ถุงแถม1ถุงค่ะนะซื้อผลิตภัณฑ์ที่ร่วมรายการกับบริษัทยูนิลิเวอร์ของเรานะคะก็นำไปเสร็จนะคะมาสแกน QR โค้ดที่บูธกิจกรรมของเรานะคะแล้วก็กรอกชื่อที่อยู่พร้อมเบอร์โทรให้เรียบร้อยนะคะแล้วก็ถ่ายรูปไปเสร็จส่งให้กับทางบริษัทแค่นี้คุณก็มีสิทธิ์ลุ้นรับของรางวัลนะคะเป็นเครื่องใช้ไฟฟ้าสุดไฮเทคแล้วนะคะกติกาง่ายมากๆเลยและที่สำคัญของรางวัลเราเนี่ยนอกจากจะได้รับเครื่องใช้ไฟฟ้านะคะสุดไฮเทคแล้วนะคะไม่ว่าจะเป็นเครื่องซักผ้าตู้เย็นนะคะหรือว่าเตารีดรวมไปถึงคนหยุดหุ่นยนต์ทำความสะอาดแล้วนะคะท่านยังมีสิทธิ์นะคะได้รับนะคะเป็นสินค้าอุปโภคบริโภคในโครงของแคร์เนี่ยของเราไปใช้ฟรีด้วยอีก1ปีนั่นเองนะคะถ้าใครอยากจะได้นะคะของรางวัลใหญ่ๆแบบนี้สามารถเข้ามาสอบถามรายละเอียดเพิ่มเติมได้ที่บูธกิจกรรมของเรานั่นเองค่ะซึ่งวันนี้เราเหลือเวลาอีกไม่นานแล้วนะคะเราอยู่กันจนถึงเวลา2ทุ่มท่านใดที่บอกว่ายังไม่ได้นะคะหรือว่ายังไม่ทราบรายละเอียดที่แน่นอนสามารถเข้ามาสอบถามรายละเอียดเพิ่มเติมได้ที่บูธกิจกรรมของเรานั่นเองนะคะซึ่งวันนี้เราจะมีพนักงานนะคะเป็นพนักงานสาวสวยอยู่ให้ความปรึกษานั่นเองค่ะ
Just for the recording, could you say who you are and what you do?
Oh, I'm actually live outside of Bangkok. Nah. I'm Kritika Lersawat. I'm a Thai researcher who working on the noise pollution maybe more than 25 years in this field. Changed many organizations to work with. Going back to like last 5 years, I'm working on the aircraft noise research. Mm-hmm. So who am I? I think I'm one of the researcher. But in another part, I think I'm like the people who live in the city and love the quiet places sometimes, not too noisy. So that's why I'm joined the Quiet Bangkok group at the very beginning that how can we share the quiet place in Bangkok to other peoples. But who am I? I think I'm one of a researcher and just a people who love not too loud noise.
In looking into your work, I did see you've been doing this research or something around noise for quite a while. You said 25 years.
Yes, more than 25 years.
How, what got you interested in studying noise?
This is actually at the beginning. Maybe I don't choose it because of my supervisor. Professor Pathan Aripon at Chulalongkorn University. He's the noise expert in Bangkok. I'm in his lab, like an assistant for him, research assistant, working with him like 6 months when I was a graduate student. And then after that, I'm starting to interesting in his research. How we learn. He taught me a lot about the physics of sound and how to think about the research and what kind of broad research subject, fundamental things. So, but in the other way, when I'm living outside of Bangkok and I'm going in for study, like a commuter, taking like a bus and train every day. So I don't like very much sitting on the on board to receive a loud noise. But that made me a little bit curious about it. How can we reduce that? That's a very starting point. And then after that, after 1.5 years, I'm starting to drive because the traffic was so congested and I waste like more than 3 hours coming in and out. So I'm stopped drive in. And then after that, graduate. But still, my life was still going along with the noise research. After graduate, I went to United States for looking for a maybe a further study, but I changed my mind. I go back. And during those time, in my pocket book like this, I wrote many drawing, a sketch, many noise barrier from your country, from your city to city. And I noticed that in the living area, like communities, quiet along the road is okay. And at the design of the building is so different comparing to my hometown. So that it might be induced me more interest on why I shouldn't focus on it. After I came back, starting to work, permanently work in Bangkok. So I'm starting with the one government organization, working with the standard conformity assessment, ISO 14,000. It's working on the environment management system. That's the first year of after graduate. And then I'm going back to think about the noise research many times in the first year. I finally end up working with the noise pollution control department in Bangkok. So that made me going deep into a research part. But another part, I'm still looking for how can we make it quiet place. We enjoy the music, no? We enjoy quiet sometimes. So that why not in the city? I think Bangkok is maybe the very noisy city in my point of view. Many of my, when I was worked with the Quiet Bangkok group, I heard that many foreigners who live in Bangkok, I think 50% of the member of the group is a foreigner.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And they would like to be active to find how can we find a quiet places.
Why do you think it's there's so many foreigners in that group? Or why do you think there are not more Thais?
From my experience, I live in the outside and then in the community. I think Thai and Asian people may have one culture together that they use the loud noise. For example, Chinese community, Chinese family. Me, I'm also from my dad from a Chinese family also. They familiar with using a loud noise, you know, conversation very loud.
Yeah.
It seems like sometimes they fight each other. No, just talk. So, and many other Thais love fun situation like a loud music, and they thought that they can play a loud music, not bother the neighbors. Actually not. Some neighbor don't like it, but don't have any choices because it's not polite to go to them and then tell them that, could you please make it a little, turn it, the lower the volume. Sometimes it's not polite, sometimes it's like we all, our family make some problem with them. It's like a culture that if somebody making loud noise, we can't tell them to turn it down. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we change by, this is a case, not a noise, like another case in environmental conditions. One of my neighbor burn some, a little cheap wood,
mm-hmm.
every, maybe twice or three times a week. And the smoke come into our house. We cannot tell them because directly. Yeah? So we starting to think that how we can do that. We going to them with one, our family recipe and share the food with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting to talk with them that, could you, because it's border, you need to change the time or, I think it's a similar things in the, when some people making loud noise. That is one, I think, that the Asian and Thai people familiar with the very loud situation, loud noise situation. That's why it's very difficult to, if you ask them, they will answer that we don't like the loud noise.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, in the same time, in other situations, they're making loud noise themselves. So that is very difficult if you think about the research in the scientific method or engineering method. Because this is culture. It's, you cannot predict what they will respond.
Yeah.
And that's why, for me, I'm so embarrassing that I worked like more than 25 years, but now I still cannot help that. How can I? And this kind of situation we share in the Bangkok, Quiet Bangkok group also, that how can we
do anything?
Yeah, do anything together. Because one of our key members, PP and Cherry, I'm not sure that you saw Dr. Araya or not.
I don't
know. She's the one who answered your email.
Oh.
Yeah. One of her friends and one of the key members of the groups. She was beat by the neighbor because the neighbor turned the radio very loud and she cannot concentrating on her work. She is an artist to make a clap. So she came to the neighbor and then tell them that could you turn down, and then have some like a conflict between the neighbors. And then after that, she cannot continue on her work, so she go to the police.
Yeah.
This is very simple for a foreign.
Yeah.
Very simple in other society, I think. If we cannot talk each other, we go to some third person who has a force. So when the police came to his house, and then police go back, he beat her. That is one of the best story. And finally, she moved to another community. That's also happened here. Yeah.
That was in Bangkok.
Yeah, this was in Bangkok. Maybe almost 10 years ago. Before we gathering the group together. That's the experience. In our discussion, so we need to share the quiet place and we need to share how the noise harm us if it's too loud. We need both sides, regulation and also education of all the people in the city, that how the loud noise harm you, harm your ear, and also your psychological.
Something interesting that I've found in this project, talking both to people who are on the side of kind of reducing noise, but also talking to artists who use noise and who generally are just listening very intently or thinking about the sounds that they hear, is this way that most people in the cities, especially because it's so loud, you basically try to shut it all out, and it's very it's exhausting, and you stop really appreciating the good sounds of the city.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Sometimes because you can't hear them, but also because
yeah.
it just falls in with everything else.
Yes.
And I was wondering, I know this isn't necessarily your research area, but what you think the place of designing or giving space for good sounds is.
In Bangkok?
Yeah. Because I noticed there's a lot of street musicians.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Well, the projects that the many years I've been sharing quiet places in Bangkok, actually is when we like set back from the street like few meters,
mm-hmm.
maybe the sound is quite a little lower. But one important thing is when we use the speaker,
mm-hmm.
I think that's another big problem in Thai society. They use the speaker, make it loud, and then they don't understand that not too much loud noise, you can get information. If you make it too loud, you cannot get anything, only loud noise, that without any information, because your ear cannot, you know, learn on what it is, what the information with the sound.
I have this experience yesterday. I was interviewing an architect at Sopokon University, and so I took the express boat to Chang Pier. They have bullhorns
yes.
in every possible direction.
Yes.
And a lot of the people on the pier are also foreigners that don't understand what is even being said.
Yeah.
And yet still someone just screaming into
yes. That is one another very big important problems to how to reduce the noise and how we can understand the physics of sound.
Yeah.
In the normal people way, and not the physicist or not the scientist way, or a musician or just people who learn how to understand how to use a speaker. I think if one another problem that may be including in how difficult we work or how difficult we share the quiet places. Or if you would like me to recommend one quiet place that quiet Bangkok group would recommend in Bangkok.
Yeah.
It's a place that a temple sometimes. Or some quiet restaurant or a bookstore.
าเรือด่วนสารทองเข้าไปอยู่ในแถวเลยนะครับรอเรียกตามเบอร์นะครับไม่ต้องแซงขึ้นมานะนะใช้สมองนิดนึงนะครับใช้สมองนิดนึงบอกลูกทัวร์ให้ต่อแถวขยับเข้ามาพอแซงเข้ามาแล้วไม่มีทางเดินเบอร์13เหลี่ยมขวาเข้ามาเบอร์13อ่ะ
Ideally, like maybe many years from now, how would Bangkok sound for you?
If think back like 10 years, no? I think it's louder yeah. than in the past.
Yeah.
And big factors that I think for myself, only my own
yeah.
personal perspective. I think the traffic is not lower.
Mm-hmm. It's higher.
Yeah, it's higher. Even if the most, this only part that the regulators has.
Yeah.
Another part don't have a regulation, no regulation.
Yeah.
Only the traffic noise. They regulate.
Yeah.
They try to enforce the new car, the new traffic.
And nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Keep nothing about it. And that's why only the noise sound control and only traffic not effective at all for Bangkok in the whole area. Another key that I'm talking to you already is how the people familiar with the loud noise and
yeah.
how they use the speaker. So I think it may be worse in the near future if they don't change.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, the situation that the people who living in the high-rise building would like to quiet a place.
Yeah.
But they're making noise for others on the ground. I think if we living in the same, you know, mindset like this, or not educate people, maybe the situation more severe in the
future.
In the future, yeah. That's why I'm That's why I'm still a little hopeless. but that's okay. Well, I'll try to find how to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in another hope, a little hope in the future. Last year, since maybe September, one of my colleagues, she's an ecologist, lecturer in Zhulangang University, near Sayang. She's working with the research on ecology in the city. For example, park, green area, and she worked with the many researchers, many ecologists, how to study the birds or another animals and plants in the green area in the city, make a city. And one issue that they raised and come to me and then asked me to help them how to study is noise that effect to the green area, noise issue. And one of her students now studying how the loud noise affect to the birds in the city, in the green area near Zhulangang University. Maybe next 2 years we will have a paper.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I definitely want to read that.
Yeah, yeah. I will inform you that they finished. They were studying to talk each other about the research last year. Maybe she start now.
Yeah.
She needs to start because it take a year long to collect the data.
Yeah.
How to measure the noise and how to collect the birds. Yeah. And she had noticed how the birds sing.
Yeah.
The bird song was so different. So she studied about the
That will be behavior. Very interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. That it maybe for me is another hope for me to, since last 10 years, first 10 years of my working on my issue, I'm working only at dark side, the pollution, how to measure, how to similar to Mr. Michael, working with the client, how to reduce noise. But for me, I learned that nothing at all. If you don't talk with people to change the mindset, how to live with the llamas, why we need to reduce them?
Yeah.
Because it harms us. It harms your child, it harms people, your parents, your neighbors.
Yeah,
I think one another research that we need to do in Bangkok, maybe another part. Similar to how we study the llamas making birds not singing or making they escape to another places, their population would reduce. If you compare it with the human, it's the same way.
Yeah.
But why? Because the people seem like when you receive loud noise, even harm your ear.
Yeah.
Or harm your health.
Yeah.
But you have a taller lens, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Comparing the economy return. Just living inside the city, I think that's difficult to deal with the research, no?
Yeah.
We need not scientific based research. We need
sociological research.
So, that one part of my research related on the airport noise issue is also a psychological effect to people by the airport noise.
Not
only scientific.
Yeah. I noticed that in reading one of the papers that we were talking to people around the airport to see how they feel it.
That suffering when you talk with them, because many of them who live very near told me that during interview and check the interview answer the question.
Yeah.
They say that there's nothing. It's 10 years passed. we can help.
Yeah.
We need to live here. So, oh. Suffering situation for me. But we need to learn.
So those are the questions that I had, just so that we leave on maybe a nice note. Can you tell me one of your favorite sounds? Not necessarily in the city, but what is a sound that you really like?
I love beep sound of river.
Mm. Is there a do you have a favorite river?
Yeah, in Thai. Actually, we. I love going into the forest, trekking sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel actually love the natural song and small creek river sounds.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Any places, I think in daily life we need to like you know this one part, small, short time to living a very quiet places. You can hear inside of your body, not only outside.
That's a great place to end. Thank you so much for coming. Maybe different, can you say maybe where you come from or where you grew up and how you came to
right so I'm Apiladika Semsuk. Yes, I'm the assistant professor in architecture at Singapore University Department of Architecture. My bachelor degree I obtained from Singapore University in architecture, also the master with architecture at the University of the Catholic University of America in United States in Washington, D.C. Right, and then I got my PhD from the University College London at the Bartlett, specialized in the urban morphology of buildings and settlements. I'm basically a Bangkokian person. I grew up in Bangkok. Yes, lived majority of my life in Bangkok, yes.
So you've never lived in a rural area, it's always been cities.
Yes, never. Only in the cities. From Bangkok, then I live in Washington D.C. for 3 years, and then from Washington D.C. I live in London for 8 years.
Wow.
Yes, so quite.
So both Washington D.C. is not, but here and London are both mega cities. So even like the biggest cities you could possibly go to.
Yes.
So you've sort of already. Mentioned your background as a designer of various scales. So maybe I'll start with something you mentioned last time we talked. You as a researcher.
Yes.
You mentioned that at one point you received a grant to study four different cities.
Yes. I do design as a kind of a hobby. Let's say I have a building design for once every 5 years or somehow. But my practice is in urban planning and urban design. Okay, so that is one practice. And my research is mainly based on the spatial network of cities, particularly interesting in informal public space, informal and small public space. So I like to look at the spatial network of that four cities, which is Yangon, Vientiane, Hanoi, and Phnom Penh, which used to be the capital of the four countries, and study that in relationship to some informal activities and some informal public space in terms of how they related, that kind of thing. Why this sort of, you can say that informal economy happening in that particular space. And how we can understand that through spatial morphology and spatial network.
I think that's really interesting that as an urban designer, you're actually looking at spaces that are sort of improvised, that are not necessarily designed as public space, but that people have decided to use as such. Are you looking at that primarily to think of how can we actually design better space, or you're just kind of interested in?
It's two objectives. One is that there's some tendency in this region to try to get rid of these informal activities on the streetscape, which I think is not a good idea. And I would like to know why it's developed over there. How do we know, what would be the special mechanics of the development? And could we sort of not decide but encourage these type of things with the other space, which has exactly the same special characteristic? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I'd like to do. So in a sense, it's not exactly design, but can we sort of redo it in other places? But let me give you a bit more details. For
yes,
example,
please.
In Bangkok and that four cities, we used to have this streetscape and street hawkers. And for somehow, we just questioning about maybe hygienics or maybe cleanliness and maybe untidy type of things. Or maybe it's, that got to do with right of the people who is the passerby who use the street in for other type of activity as well. So by questioning that, we get rid of the street hawkers instead of initiate a better management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you go throughout these four or five cities, now today the scenery is completely changed. I just been back from Yangon the other days, and all the street hawkers along the main street has been gone. So Yangon for me is just completely different city. It's looking very typical to any other city. On the opposite, Singapore's got into this kind of moving the street hawker and put them into a food court.
Mm-hmm.
And they success with that. And then they have this very beautiful street hawker back into the system. So my question is that why we get rid of this kind of thing that is our nature and go to the Singaporean model, which the Singaporean model thought that is not good anymore. So in a sense, it's kind of ironic, but maybe it's, I don't know. I hope that there's something that we can mm-hmm. we can keep. Yeah. So that's my sort of a questioning and then direction into this research, how to unlock the mechanic. There's one particular, it can be one example. If you go to Rama 8 Bridge,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to the western side, to Phang Thon side,
mm-hmm.
and during the evening, there is a park over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an open park. I mean, under the bridge is an open park, and then you have this kind of a greenery as well, but it's fenced off. But then you can get inside until some certain time. You are not allowed inside. But if you look around, it's next to the river. There are some kind of so communities. People from the community is a really is a low-income community. People from the communities set up their stall, selling something, and you can actually have a very cheap food to eat next to the river,
mm.
which is quite nice. And because majority of the people won't be able to eat in the very expensive restaurant next to the river. But this is just one way of using the public space.
Yeah.
Allow them a little bit. Then you have a number of school students. Yeah, students everywhere. And to do some kind of the sport and some kind of these cheerleader things.
Yeah.
And then if you get inside the green thing, you have people's walking or running, those type of things. It's for everyone. So I think I really kind of like that. And this developed. It's a good example of the working between the Bangkok municipality as well as the owner of this green stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to develop these two things together. It's very nice.
Was it part of a larger development or they just decided?
No, they just decided. Yeah, it's just happening.
Mm.
And it's people just really make use of it.
Yeah. It's something that I was kind of thinking about
mm.
on the way over here, this idea of designing an open space
mm-hmm.
or a closed space, and that doesn't necessarily mean walls or no walls, but that a space can be designed to be open to multiple uses, or it can be designed for very specific uses, like for again, going back to American sort of public space that's designed as part of a building. The benches are designed so you cannot sleep on them. So it and you definitely cannot set up any sort of shops. So they're open space in terms of physicalness, but they're not really open in terms of multiple uses. It's kind of hard to think of how you actually design an open space in that sense.
I don't know either, but I found that as a designer, I don't know either, because we just thought that this might be the way that people are going to use it. But what surprised me is that the way that the people actually use the space. The case of Bangkok, for example, if you look at the motorcycle station, I think they are really great. I mean, they're sort of having this kind of special strategy to know where exactly they should set up this kind of small motorcycle station that you can catch the eye of the people, but you not interrupt the flow. And you build some sort of this network of this substation everywhere, and then you can have this your service area. I don't know how to do it, but I think that's a good example of knowledge, common knowledge of the people how to use space, which we as a designer, I'm not really sure that we understand.
So, as a designer, what do you see as your role, especially when you're working for both, possibly a private company or the government? But you're designing a space that people use. How do you, balance the responsibility to the clients versus the responsibility to people that use the space?
It's, in a sense, it's lucky for me because majority of our work is for government. So then we do have this kind of a public participation with the people quite a lot. I mean, and we do ask what type of space would they like to have, where would it be, and how are they going to use it? And we have this sort of listening, maybe. Somehow we set up the program together and ask them to have some kind of opinions on the design as well. And it's work for us in that sense, and we hope that it's going to be good for them. I mean, at least, for example, they're one of the province. For example, in Chacheng South, there is a group of eco farmer. Somehow, they work with the just natural type of produce products and
organic
farming.
Farmers.
Organic farmer, yes, and we have to listen to them carefully. How do we plan? How do we zone? And how do we set up some kind of a public space? Because they would like to keep the distance from all around surrounding area in order to for their products to be certified as an organic product.
So you mentioned one area that you think was working very well, the Rama 8 park. Are there other projects that either you teach in your classes or that you just generally think are doing a really good job in Bangkok of using public space?
On the ground floor, at the moment, I think this one is the best. Some of the green space, for example, Lumpini Park is also nice, as well as the other park on Sukhumvit Road. However, in Lumpini, I think they're just then not many of some set of activities that can going on. For example, you can run, of course, you can bike. I'm not really sure whether you can play football. Yeah, I mean, on the public space, on the street, on that particular hardscape or something, or the softscape. I'm not really sure. But in that Rama 8, you can do it. Yeah, so that is something of overlapping of activities on the space, I think it's important. But that from the municipality point of view, recently we do have the developer develop some kind of you would call privately owned public space and allow that to happen as well. And I'm actually going to, I don't know, because the project is just opening. Mm-hmm. So across the side from the Rama 8 to the Bangkok side, mm-hmm. it's a Bank of Thailand. A Bank of Thailand, it has one of the building which used to be a very old printing building, mm-hmm. a printing notes building. And they renovate the whole project to be some kind of a, they call it a knowledge, instilled whatsoever. But then so they let public to use the space, mm-hmm. yeah, for museum, for library, and some other things. But they got involved with a very good architects and landscape design. So I'm really hope that we will have this new public space on the ground floor, as well as some on the above floor and next to the river. So that is one of really new project opening. On the other hand, if you look at TCDC, it's another project by the government, and I think they also have a very good landscape design on the ground floor as well, as allow people to use the building. Mm-hmm. TCDC is also within a renovation, within a renovated building. It's a post office, the old post office on Jeren Gung Road. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can check these two projects out.
Yeah. I will. Yes. What are the pitfalls? What are the things that designers sort of get in bad habits about in designing public space?
Because it's just that starting to yeah. happening. Yeah. I'm not sure yet where we learn anything, but on the other hand, I have some, this is my kind of observation alone. For example, I use the example as an example for this public space. Yeah. If you look at this type of the cafe and coffee place, they look similar everywhere. If you're going to the cafe in Bangkok, if you're going to these coffee cafes, maybe in New York, okay. the way that they decorate are the same. So I would love to have this the public designer considering something more of this local kind of, maybe in terms of material or maybe use space or whatsoever. I think this slightly is a touching of this localism would be very nice if they could initiate.
Yeah. I definitely would appreciate that. I've many coffee shops I've been in here. I feel like I'm in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I'm not, so I don't want to be in Brooklyn.
Yes, me neither.
Obviously, my project, as we've talked about, is focused on sound, mm-hmm. And in many ways, the ways in which sound can create space, and how our spaces kind of bump up against each other by the sounds that we make.
Yeah.
You said to me the first time that we talked that sound has not really been in the conversation yet. So I guess what I'd ask is, how might sound be incorporated into the idea of public space and thinking about public space in its for its public good?
Two things. Maybe is we call that as a sound identity of the space. So that's one thing. The second thing is could be what we call noise pollution. That's another thing. So with noise pollution, so it means that we need to have some kind of the control or regulation to regulate the sound or the noise everywhere, not only in public space as well as in the city as well. Mm-hmm. But sound identity, I think that's something that we need to explore. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure yet. For example, if you talk about public space, there are two types of public space. It's outdoor public space or indoor public space. Mm-hmm. If you talk about the indoor public space, the sound in the shopping center is one thing. Also, a sound in the airport or sound in hospital is another thing. But if you're talking about the sound in the outdoor public space, it's something that we can definitely explore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely agree.
I would say, yeah.
So, sort of winding down, mm-hmm. what are the thinkers or the researchers in these areas of public space, of urban design, that you want each one of your students to like really understand? Who are the the building blocks of your understanding of urban design?
Who?
Yeah, like, or what ideas are really, you know, at the core?
What idea at the core would be, I would say people. I mean, in my studio initiative, I ask students to visit the site of the studio and talk to the people, with several type of people as well. Mm-hmm. Not just only one particular group, and also distance themselves, not to be really romanticized about what they tell you or what you're going to hear, but try to understand, mm-hmm. yeah, and think of the future, mm-hmm. yeah. So once you understand things, you build up your knowledge and think what would be good for the future and how to make people happy, not for now, but also for the future.
And in Bangkok, transportation is clearly a huge issue because it's such a sprawling mm-hmm. city. Yes. I mean, you start to have a lot of skyscrapers, but generally, I mean, the city is just big because it's large.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of those very low buildings.
Yes.
You mentioned the public transportation, and mostly in the terms of like designing the station.
Mm-hmm.
How does public transport, like planning on public transportation, work here? I know that's a huge question, but like there's only two lines of the BTS.
At the moment, there's only two lines. In the future, there will be a lot. Let me give you some of the background. Yeah. I think we have. I'm not really sure about the correct number. Let's say. But the ratio is correct, definitely. We have the length of the street in Bangkok, in the perimeter of this Bangkok. Mm-hmm. Let's say if we have about 50 kilometers and in accumulation, okay. Oh no, not 50, 5,000 kilometers in accumulation. Then we have the accumulation of the canals for 2,500 kilometers as well.
Right.
So if we take the canal and put some of the canal in terms of to use that as special network, it can really help with the amount of the length we have about the street network, because it's we really can't build anymore with the street.
No.
Yeah. So we can adding up. Yeah. So that's the way that we should look at. Many majority of the people try to do that, but at the moment we have a problem with, in my view. We have a problem with this, what would be the type of the boat that we could use in the canal, because our canal is not straight.
Yeah.
It's really, really is, it's narrow, not straight, and it's
shallow,
yes. So we need to be very careful about the type of the boats, that's one thing. Yeah. Or the other thing is that we have the problem with the regulation here. For example, if you own a land, you own a land from, in my words, from hell to heaven. Yeah? So you own the land underneath to the top. Yeah. So if you like to have some part of the land, let's say, for public use, mm-hmm. somehow you really have to remove people out mm-hmm. of the land. And it costs a lot of money. So the project, majority of this, the mass transit line, is just built on the already existing road.
Yeah, either above it or
yes. So it means that you not really help with the network.
Yeah.
You just build on it. You just add.
Increase the capacity.
Exactly.
But only there.
Yeah. But on the other hand, one of the papers I published with another colleague, we did this whole street network as well as the mass transit for the future and the canal. The canal can really help because it's already there. It exists before the street network, so it has its own sort of a network. It can really complement the street network, but you really have to select the canal carefully. Yes, hopefully if they do select this type of the canal, then we will have a better sort of mass transit network in general.